This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
While most of our episodes deep dive into the world of points and miles strategies, today we're taking a step back to focus on the essence of travel itself. I believe that beyond maximizing rewards, there's something magical about those who make it their mission to just explore the world. In this episode, we're joined by Wanzalani and Jake, a couple that embodies this spirit. They've been all over, from the breathtaking peaks of Machu Picchu to the vibrant beaches of Cuba, all while balancing full-time jobs, raising a family, and creating great content as well. So whether you're a seasoned points enthusiast or someone who simply loves hearing about epic travel adventures, this one's for you.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch, and we have got an exciting group of guests today for you guys. So we've got Wanzalani and Jake of At Travel Partners on Instagram, a couple who they travel the world together. They share amazing content while visiting incredible destinations, and they share that content via both Instagram and YouTube. They're content creators, they're travelers, and we wanted to get them featured on the show today. So Wanz, Jake, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, DeAndre.
Yeah, very exciting. Thank you so much, DeAndre.
Absolutely. So, Jake and Wanz, would love to start with some background on you guys. Where in the world are you? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? And then, how'd you guys meet and start traveling together?
Yeah, for sure. So, I can give you a quick background. So, we are actually based in Ontario, Canada. For most people that is who are familiar with sort of the geography of Canada, we actually are just very close to Toronto. So that would be the main sort of airport that we travel out of. I'm originally from Africa. I've been in Canada for 17 years now, and I'm originally from Zambia, and but we're based in Canada full time. We actually have full-time jobs, if you can believe it. On top of our traveling, we do have 9-to-5s. I work in human resources, talent acquisition specifically. So I do a lot of hiring for the organization that I work for. So Jake, do you want to talk about the other parts?
Yeah, so I'm an operations manager for a large HVAC company across North America. That's my 9-to-5. And then travel is my part-time dream.
Nice. Very nice. So travel is a part-time dream. We both have 9-to-5, so not full-time content creators. So we mix in the travel and the content creation with the 9-to-5. So how did you guys meet? And was it, you know, travel at first love, or was that something that little kind of had to blossom a little bit for you guys to get out and start exploring?
So Jake and I actually met on an online dating website about 12 years ago. And we took our first vacation together 6 months into our relationship. So our first trip was an all-inclusive to Cuba, which I paid for. So Jake still owes me a trip, which till this day he has not reimbursed me on that. But yes, absolutely, travel has been at the top of our sort of relationship since 6 months in. We've been traveling together.
That is super cool. So my fiance Tara and I have some synergy there. We started dating in we met actually between Christmas and New Year's, so right in between, and we ended up taking our first, I guess, more extended trip to Greece, basically the end of May that following year. I think we had gone to, we'd done like a ski trip and then a couple other things, but like our first big trip was really end of May. So can completely understand, you know, really just say, you know what, this is going to work, it's going to work. So let's go for it. So that's really cool. So let me ask you this, because we don't have a lot of people that have talked about Cuba. What do you guys think of Cuba? How was that experience? Taryn's actually been to Cuba before a few times. She's actually half Cuban. I have not. So I'd love to hear, how was the Cuban experience?
Our first trip was amazing. Yeah, like it was, you know, one of the things that we can say about Cuba is it is, the people are extremely friendly. The beaches that we visited, because we've been to Cuba a couple of times, have been one of the best beaches we've ever seen in the world. So we absolutely love Cuba just because of, you know, if you really want a beautiful beach that's clean, you know, it's an amazing place to go. It's extremely safe and the people are amazing.
That's very cool. Jake, what about yourself? What was your viewpoint of the Cuban lifestyle?
For me, it was the culture, the you know, the way of life there, and just for us Canadians, it's a all around good, budget friendly vacation to go sit on a beach somewhere at an all inclusive resort. You know, other than Mexico. Or some of the other Caribbean islands, it's very budget friendly for us to go there. So I think they cater to a lot of travelers going there and just sitting on the beach. So that's what really drew me to go there, and you know, reason why we've returned. We've since traveled the rest of the other parts of the world since then, but Cuba always has a place in her heart. And the coolest thing about Cuba is it's kind of stuck in time. A lot of the vehicles are from 1950s, 60s, and they're not rusted out. You're not seeing them falling apart. Like, they really take pride and ownership in what they have. And I really think that makes it a really cool place to visit as well, because it's very unique. You don't see that anywhere else in the world. If you see an old car here, it's usually rusted out and you don't get to, you know, see the true how it was originally. And when you go to Cuba, it's like time sits still there, because they have you know, they haven't been impacted by the rest of the world just because of you know, the way it is there. But we like it.
Very cool. So, Jake, I know you guys share some really great content. You post a lot of really cool things about your travel, the destinations, the food, the everything. You know how to throw a joke in there as well. What was that transition for you that said, you know what, we love to travel, let's go ahead and share this and grow? And you guys have expanded to having a really great following. So, well, was there a catalyst at some point that made you say, you know what, let's get more into content creation, because we just love doing it and we love going to these great places?
Ultimately, the reason that we had started sharing sort of our adventures was because we always, whenever we told people about a trip, like, oh, we're going to this destination, there was always some apprehension from some people. They would be like, oh, you're going to the country. I've heard this. I've heard that. Oh, is it safe? Is it, you know, a good place to visit? So our first goal really was to highlight what the experience actually was like. So to shed some of that, you know, misconceptions that people might have about visiting certain destinations. So that was really our motivation when we started with the content creation.
Yeah, and for me too, you know, I always brought my cameras on the trip, and, you know, photography and taking pictures was always, you know, something I enjoyed doing myself. So then that kind of, well, brought into the point, well, why don't we share this with the world? You know, with the internet now, you know, the audience is unlimited. You know, why not start sharing some of our experiences with the world, and let's show the world the true, authentic experience of traveling the world, not just what, you know, some of the travel agencies put out there, and some of the, you know, user content that's paid, more so geared towards, you know, let's sell a vacation. You know, we like to give the honest opinion on things and how our experience was. And I think that's what really turned it for us.
So question for you, do you guys happen to know the count of how many countries you guys have been to together?
I think last time I checked, we were at about 18 together combined.
Very nice. So I'd love to hear what have been some of your just absolute favorite destinations as to different places that you've been, and whether we want to get, you know, just location or even granular to, hey, we stayed at this specific resort and the people there, the service there was phenomenal. So let's start kind of larger and go best kind of place overall. So, you know, location wise, and then if we can get a little bit granular to where was some of the most popular, not popular, but some of the best places that you guys have stayed that actually just blew your mind.
Yeah, so for me, the one of the best, most experiences I think we've ever had was visiting Machu Picchu in Peru. You know, we always have this moment, and we often talk about it, going up to the top of Machu Picchu. The day we were there was raining. It was very cloudy. You're up in the clouds. You really couldn't see anything. It was just all clouds around us. And then after about 20 minutes of being at the top of Machu Picchu, the clouds started to kind of dissipate, and then all of a sudden you could see this absolute gorgeous view of all the history and the landscape and the mountains in the background. And it was just one of those times where we looked at each other and we kind of had that wow factor that you see on Instagram, where people are just, the jaws are dropping and they can't believe what they're seeing. And that was really the first time that we had one of those experiences. So for me, Peru was definitely one of the experiences, but we also had one of the scariest experiences in Peru as well. So it goes hand in hand, but I'll let Juans tell about that.
Yeah, DeAndre, I would absolutely agree with Jake. Machu Picchu still holds a very special place in our heart. Like Jake described, you know, being able to see the ruins after a cloudy day, and, you know, the clouds moving, it was absolutely breathtaking. But I think what does make it special too is the story behind that, how we got to Machu Picchu. And I think just being grateful, we had to take this overnight bus ride because it's the town that we were visiting is called Aguascalientes. That's the closest town to Machu Picchu. And so we had to take a bus ride there. And it was so scary. It was in the middle of the night. We were on this bus ride on the edge of a cliff on the road, and the driver was just swerving in and out, and so it was pretty terrifying. When we got to our destination, there was a lot of relief, and of course at the end of the trip, being able to see the ruins was just magical. I have to echo what Jeff said.
Machu Picchu, that was the highlight. I'd love to hear from now a staying standpoint, what have been some of the hotels, resorts that you guys have stayed at that really just knocked your socks off?
Yeah, I think for me, DeAndre, I think this both resonates with both of us. We stayed at Sandals. We love Sandals Resorts. We stayed at the Grenada one for our honeymoon, and we were absolutely blown away by the service, the details. The actual resort itself was pretty small and humbled, and just down to earth. We had a fantastic time at this resort, and we would highly recommend it to everyone. That's for me, that sticks out in my head. We've been to other Sandals resorts as well, but that one by far, the Grenada one, is our favorite.
Juans, any other stays that you have had in maybe more so, like, I know you guys have been to Dubai. I think you've been maybe to Italy, different places that you guys really enjoyed. Where what was a highlight for you?
Yeah, so that's very funny, DeAndre, that you mentioned Dubai, because one of the places that really stands out for me was a day that we spent at a beach resort in Dubai called Twiggy by Canteen. It's actually part of Park Hyatt. It was the best day we have spent in a very long time. The service was amazing. They were so attentive to our needs, everything we wanted. We couldn't even pour our own drinks. They would just come as soon as they saw our drinks were empty. They would come by, fill our drinks. The food was amazing. The views of the Burj Khalifa were stunning, and we got to spend the whole day there, watch the sunset, and that's definitely a top highlight of places we have visited and stayed.
So I love that. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually link to that location in the show notes, because I've seen it. That place looks amazing. And I know that typically our podcast, we talk a lot about points and miles and travel with that. But also I love having those like yourself that love to travel to be able to share your stories. And we can combine both of those, because that is a place that we could transfer, or those that listen that are in the points and miles space, we could transfer our points from Chase directly to Hyatt to book that location. Now, I'm not sure what the Hyatt category is on that, but that's exciting to know that one of your best favorite places that you stayed at, which is in Dubai, top service, I believe it's on the water, it looks like a beautiful, beautiful property, is one that you can very easily attain through some points on the Chase side of things. So very cool there. So we've got the sandals in Grenada. We've got Twiggy in Dubai. Question for you, Jacob, since you said that you've been to a few sandals properties, out of curiosity, have you ever stayed at a Secrets property?
Funny enough, no, we haven't. We have not booked a Secrets yet, but it's on our bucket list.
Very cool. The reason why I asked that is Taryn and I, we are huge fan of Secrets, but we were also talking about what's the difference between Secrets and sandals. We've heard great things about sandals. We stayed a lot of Secrets. And so I said, oh man, maybe this would be an opportunity to get the viewpoint of someone that's seen both. I know they're both top end adults only brands, all inclusives, typically in the Caribbean. Both come very highly recommended. Heard some really great things about sandals, but love that you had a great experience in the one in Grenada. And we'll look into that one as well, because I think that could be a really unique destination that a lot of people have not gone. So let me ask you guys this. When it comes to planning out your trips, how does that work? Do you guys just pick a destination? Is one of you more the flight and hotel planner, and the other is the itinerary planner? How do you guys do this?
I am the planner. Jake is the social media manager, and I am the travel manager. But, ultimately, to answer and make the answer short, don't randomly pick vacations. We actually do have a bucket list of countries that we want to visit, places that we want to see. So we always start off by that list. We kind of look and see where would our next destination be. But it also needs to make sense for us that year or 2 years out, what that looks like. But ultimately, we do have a list of places we want to visit. And there's different factors that make us pick one spot that we're given to.
So I saw on your Instagram that one of your reels, and I'm assuming this is now the answer to the question I just asked, which the reel was you, Juan, sitting in business class, and I guess you had regulated Jake to economy, and the reel was like, when your wife books business class and looks at you like she doesn't even know you when you walk by and go to economy. So I guess this must be why. So once you're the one booking the trip, so you're like, I'm the one booking it, so I guess the seats we end up with is just what happens. That's what it seems like. Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow Points and Miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your Points and Miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. So how far do you guys typically plan out your vacations, right? Is this something that you're booking out a year in advance? Are you more so, hey, let's go next month? What's your typical time frame when it comes to planning out a trip?
Yeah, that's a very good question, DeAndre. And the answer is that it depends on the type of trip. So we just recently came back from Italy. That was a dream trip for us, and it was also our anniversary trip. We've been planning that since pre-COVID, if you can believe it. And because we know it's going to cost us a little bit of money, we want to save and we want to make it special. So that we would, you know, book in advance, you know, usually 3 to 5 years out, allowing us the opportunity to save points, for example, if we want to go that route, or just budget accordingly for that trip. We like to take, because of our 9-to-5s, we're extremely busy. We do like to take, you know, beach vacations and things like that. That usually 6 months out to a year.
So you just mentioned ones that you might have some, kind of strategize around the points side of things to use your points for travel that might be a little farther out from a planning standpoint. Do you find, so when you're using your points, do you typically try to focus more so on airlines, or is it more so hotels, or it just really depends on where you can get the best deal? How do you typically find that you do like to use your points?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we actually collect points two ways. We collect points, let's say, with our favorite hotel brand, just because of work. We travel quite a bit, so we accumulate points through that way to cover hotels. But when it comes to flights, because we do like to fly business class, you know, get those upgrades, then we use our credit card points for those type of trips. So it is a twofold strategy, if that makes sense, collecting points through our preferred hotel brand, and then, of course, through credit cards for air miles.
Oh, very nice. And so I know when we were talking offline that you mentioned that you guys do have children. With a lot of these travels that you take, are these kind of primarily just you two? Do you figure out a way to get the whole family involved? Is it a complete blend? How does that typically work for you guys and with your travel schedule? Because obviously some of these destinations, the more, you know, the more beds you're adding, the more complex it gets to plan it.
Yeah, I mean, of course we like to plan trips with our kids. We're finding as they're getting older, it's getting a little bit more complicated and costly. So recently we've found them kind of mixed, leaving them at home and maybe one vacation a year with the kids. We brought them to Africa in January of this year. That was the last time we traveled with the kids, but it is getting costly because they're teenagers, so we're paying adult fare now for two of them, so it's not the kids are not free anymore. So but Wands and I, we like to travel by ourselves. I mean, it's something we enjoy. We honestly have a better experience all around when we're not chasing kids all over the place, making sure they're not, you know, misbehaving, making sure they're not touching things they're not supposed to be doing. And then when it's just Wands, Alani, and I mean, you see on our social medias, we're very fun people and we have a lot of fun together.
No, I love that. That's absolutely great. So what advice would you give to those that say, man, I would love to go see the world. I want to get out there. I don't know where to start. It seems a little daunting to me. What would you say for someone that just really wants to get out of maybe their comfort zone? Maybe they haven't left the country before, right? Which is probably, I'm not sure about in Canada, but there's a lot in the U.S. that have never owned a passport, right? What would you say for those that just want to go out and see the world, but maybe a little bit intimidated, may not have a travel partner, you know, like you guys, right? That and want to get out there.
Yeah, I think the most important part is just to start, DeAndre. They just have to book their first vacation, whether it be a beach resort or just a solo trip, you know, across the border to Canada or you just have to start. And this is a good question because this is how I got started. And, you know, I wasn't really much of a traveler when I was younger until I met Wands. And when we took that first trip to Cuba together, we had such an awesome time that we wanted to keep replicating it and almost became like it becomes, you know, some people get addicted to certain things. Once you start traveling, you get an itch to see, you know, what can I see here? What can I see here? And then, you want to tell people, more and more people about it. And, you know, anyone that has not ever traveled before, my advice to them is always, you just have to start. You have to just book, even if it's a cheap beach vacation, you're still getting out of the country. Once you start to see other cultures, other societies, other destinations, you're going to start to realize I understand why people travel.
Perfect. And Wands, what would you say?
Yes, I would echo a little bit of what Jake said, but I think what I would like to say is a lot of people see traveling as a once in a lifetime, you know, opportunity. I want to go to Italy one day. I want to visit Africa on a safari one day. But ultimately, my advice is that traveling doesn't need to be big and grand. It can be small, just like Jake said, just coming across the border to Canada if you're in the, you know, in the U.S. or vice versa, Canada to the U.S. It could be a three-day trip to Mexico. You know, it doesn't need to be one big once-in-a-lifetime trip. Is that you can start small and you can start close to home.
So what are some of your favorite resources to find these kind of unique destinations of where you're going? Like finding Twiggy, for example, was it, oh, you are a big Hyatt fan, so you just knew that was a Hyatt property there? Was it blogs? Was it Instagram, booking.com? How do you typically find, and this might be more of a question for you, Wands, I know you're the researcher, you're the booker, how do you find where the next destination will be, or I should say where you're going to stay and what you're going to do in your next destination?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, DeAndre. And I think you did touch on some of the key things about where we would look in order to get inspiration. You would say social media is a big, you know, platform, hence why we share our travels to show people the different things you can do in different destinations. Absolutely. As well as, you know, we do follow some of our favorite, you know, property brands, and we will see a nice hotel that will pop up, a new location that has been opened, and we'll be like, oh, wow, we want to try that place. But another thing, if you give me 1 second, I'll show you a book that we call our travel Bible, is we get a lot of inspiration from the ultimate travel list. And sometimes it's just kind of looking like, oh, wow, what are the top, you know, 100 must visit places in the world, and then build our itinerary around that one, you know, multiple places that we want to visit. So definitely various different platforms that we look at, social media being one of them. But yeah, booking.com, Expedia, all those different places as well, we do check for inspiration on good old Google.
That's really cool. So for the listeners that aren't watching this on YouTube, she literally held up this giant book to the camera. Is it the Ultimate Travel List, I think it was called?
Yes, by Lonely Planet.
Perfect. Now, is that something that is like an edition that comes out multiple every year? Or is that just a, hey, this is the book, or in your case, the Bible on travel, and it just kind of is what it is? Or do they reproduce that multiple years? I've actually never heard of this book, so I'm super fascinated by it. I'm going to look into it myself.
So the edition that we have is the second edition. It's not something that is a yearly sort of book that is published. But every, you know, 5 to 10 years, they'll publish a new one, just because, you know, Machu Picchu, for example, is standard. Like, if that's what it's going to be. So they're not changing it very often. Yes, they do update it. And the current edition is this.
So let me ask you guys, are you guys in the carry-on or only crew, or check bag, be comfortable, not have to worry about the packing light?
We like to overpack. So yeah, we pack way too much. But we like to be prepared for every situation. But I think it's like everyone, when they get home from their vacation, the suitcase is sitting in the corner of the room and you're like, why did I bring all that? Because I didn't use it. But I would rather be over prepared than under prepared.
I can resonate with that sentiment. I was very similar in that same camp. I have forced myself to become the carry only traveler. It is not easy, but it does have its rewardingness from the standpoint of being lighter for travel's sake. But I can definitely understand that, especially when it comes to social media content, right? You got camera equipment, you got all the things, and that just makes the packing challenge just even so much more. So I can completely get that.
To that point, I have, over the last 3 or 4 trips, cut back on the camera gear that we carry. We've really picked quality over quantity when it comes to cameras, and we are being more selective on what we are actually bringing with us so that we can be smarter and not be carrying around heavy equipment with us everywhere we go. And so far it's paying off. We're using very select cameras and we're getting really high quality content out of it. So it's paying off.
Awesome. Guys, before we start to wrap up here, any unique or really interesting travel stories that you guys want to share from any of your destinations that just really, not just the destination itself took you away, but just a really fun, great travel story that is why we get out and do what we do and travel so much?
I mean, for me, DeAndre, you know, Zambia, where Wanzalani's from, I've been there 3-4 times now. And me as a Canadian, if I was to tell another Canadian or American, hey, I'm going to Africa, they'd be like, that's a trip of a lifetime. But when I actually go there and I see, you know, the culture and everything that it has to offer, I look at it and I'm like, this is actually really a place I could live and not just be a trip. The everything there is just on another level. It's more very simple, down to earth. They have all the same necessities we have, maybe sometimes a little bit more in unlimited capacity. But for the most part, you know, Zambia and that area of Africa, Central Africa, is definitely something that, you know, as a Canadian, I can resonate. You know, it's really not just a bucket list. It's a, you know, let's go there for 6 months of the year. A lot of, you know, Canadians, they go to Florida for the winter. We call them the winter getaway people. You know, my generation and Wanza's generation, we're going to be changing that. We're going to be going to Africa for 6 months a year, and then we'll come back to Canada for the summer.
Very cool. What about you, Wanza?
You know, I think for mine, it's pretty short and sweet, DeAndre, is ultimately what has made or broken like a trip for us is the people. And this world is full of amazing people. You know, every country that we have ever visited, you know, people have been extremely welcoming, helpful. They're proud of their countries, their food, their culture, and they want to share that with the world. And that's what makes, you know, the trip is when, you know, people are willing to share their stories and their cultures and their lives. And, you know, for me, that is what makes it. And we have visited so many places where, you know, we've lived with a local family, you know, shown us around, who showed us the way they live day to day, you know, and those were the best, you know, versus just staying in the tourist areas and just focused on just the tourist stuff. Just being a local has really shown us a different perspective of those cultures and countries.
Awesome. So where's next for you guys? What's the next travel destinations? What's on the bucket list? What are you excited about that's coming up here?
You know, we have been doing a lot of international travel and we want to continue exploring that and continue traveling the world. But a part that has been missing for us is exploring local, like actually in Canada, being, you know, tourists in Canada itself and highlighting all the great things about Canada and how we love living here. And so I think that's something that we do want to focus on is when it comes to travel is, you know, being a little bit closer to home. On top of, you know, our standard, you know, let's go to a new country this year.
Perfect. Jake, anything to add with that one?
Yeah, I think she hit it on the ball. I mean, for Canadians, I know it's a little bit different in the States, but travel is really expensive within Canada. It would cost us the same amount of money to fly across Canada to go to British Columbia as it would for us to go sit on a beach in Mexico for a week at an all-inclusive resort. So when we think of, you know, hey, let's book a trip, most of the times, you know, the beach resorts or somewhere else wins because it's just more cost effective than to just get on a plane and go across Canada. But, definitely we will be looking into, you know, how to maximize, traveling in Canada on a budget, whether it be driving across or, flying, you know, different budget-friendly options across and exploring more Canada.
Perfect. Well, where can the listeners follow you guys in your journeys, whether it's in Canada, a beach in Mexico, or somewhere else in the other side of the world?
So on Instagram, we're at Travel Partners with 2 L's. On YouTube, we're Travel Partners with 2 L's as well.
Perfect. Makes it easy. So we'll go ahead and link to your profiles in the show notes as well. So listeners can go ahead and take opportunity to follow you, follow your great content, watch your long form video and your short form video as well, and we'll be able to have that linked. So guys, last couple of questions before we wrap up. First is, who else should we have on the show? What are the other content creators out there, travelers out there that you guys either know or follow that you think would be amazing to highlight their travels and their travel expertise on the show?
I think one of the things that would be interesting to have a different perspective, Jake and I are travel partners, but, solo travelers as well. There's a lot of people we had talked about earlier that may not have a travel partner or a friend or family that they would travel with. So what does travel look like for solo travelers? We actually have a friend of us that we met through social media, actually. Nam is her name, and she's a solo travel. She's brand new. And traveling the world as a solo traveler, so we're happy to share that information as well. Another thing that I would like to sort of emphasize as well, DeAndre, is we talk a lot about the traveler experience, and I think it would be interesting to get it from a perspective of most smaller hotel companies, and what their perspective is on the travel market. I think that would be a really cool concept. We are going to present one county in Canada and over the weekend, and we're staying in a really nice boutique type of, hotel. And I think talking to individuals like that, highlighting kind of what services they offer, would also be a great opportunity to highlight on your platform.
No, I appreciate that feedback, and I'm excited actually because I think you'll like this. In a few weeks, we're going to have an episode with a woman who's actually in Africa, and she actually does safari tours and such in very boutique style in Africa. So not a hotel, but I think we'll get some good, great content that we'll be able to share and can also have a different perspective come from someone that's actually in the travel industry as well.
Absolutely. That's exciting. I can't wait for that to come out.
Perfect. And Jake, anyone that you wanted to mention before we wrap this one up?
No, I think Nan Norley Travel, as one said, she's a solo travel, content creator. Other than that, no, I mean, we'll be watching. Whatever you post in, we're watching.
Awesome. Well, guys, any last final thoughts in the world of travel, points, whatever it may be, destinations, any last thoughts you guys want to leave with the audience before we call this one a day?
Travel Partners is not just about Wanzalani and I traveling the world. It's really about, connecting travelers with unique destinations, giving them the tools they need to travel, as well as we will be in the future branding to a travel agency, incorporating travel partners into that umbrella of the whole travel network. And, it's just really about connecting travelers with what they need to have a good time.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today, sharing a bit of your travel story. And Jake, you explaining how you were able to capture your love of travel by that first taste of Cuba. Juan's coming from the Africa, being in Canada, and you doing the planning that it takes to go around the world. You've mentioned some great destinations, hopefully some places that the listeners can take a part of or have an opportunity to visit or look into, and as well as continuing to follow you guys also. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, DeAndre.
Absolutely. If you guys loved Juan's and Jake's story, make sure to give them a follow. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Give us a rating, tell your friends, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.